Welcome to episode 235 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on keeping your mind in check. Keeping your mind in check. This is going to be series 3. The anchor scripture has been taken from Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. The New Living Translation. I read. Let the peace that comes from God, from Christ, rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Verse 16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Okay, so I read the same thing from the King James Version. Okay. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, we're going to continue. And for those that did not listen to episode 233 and 234, please, I will strongly encourage you to do that. But essentially, we started with the idea that the mind is the engine room for a person's life. And it's very important. So we talked about principles behind keeping your mind in check. We talked about let the peace of God rule in your heart. There were like three things kind of bundled in there. We talked about that in the first series. And then the second series, we talked about togetherness and thankfulness. So we're pretty much done with verse 15. Except God gives us something else there. Well, let's go to verse 16, right? So how do you keep your mind in check? What's the next principle? Well, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ. That's one. So let, we see that word let again. Let the word of Christ. In fact, there are a few key words here. Let is a key word. The word of Christ is a key word. Dwell in you is a key word. Richly is a key word. In all wisdom is a key word. I trust the Lord to help us break it down. But let's start with the word let. Again, the word let connotes that this is something you have to allow. That's one thing people don't understand. Many times people think that God is like some kind of person that will force you to do things. Mm-mm. God will not force you to do things. In fact, there is this portion of scripture that says, I place before you life and death. I think it was Moses instructing the Israelites as directed by God. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live. So he offered them an option. But, you know, you could also choose death. He recommended that they choose life. But it was like, yeah, choose whatever you want. Right? So that's one thing. God gives you the ability to make choices. But whether you like it or not, you're going to live with the consequences of your choices. Right? Because we saw this let principle in verse 15. We're seeing this let principle again in verse 16. Let is something you have to allow. So what are you allowing into your heart? It's your choice. If you want the word of Christ to dwell richly in your heart, it's your choice. You have to make that choice to study the word of God, to read the word of God, to meditate on the word of God, to obey the word of God. Right? But if you want to reject the word of God as well, it's also a choice. I mean, if you read through the book of Hebrews, is mentioned multiple times. It says, today if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You can choose to harden your heart to the word of God. You can choose to say, you know what? I've heard the word of God. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not going to obey this. It's a choice that you can make, right? So let, again, that's the thing. Many things in people's lives is not because of what, no, it's just because of what you allow. It's what you put boundaries around. If you allow the word of God to dwell in your heart, your life is going to be good. But if you don't, right, your life is not going to be good. It's just simple as that. So you have a choice to make. So he says, let the word of Christ, the word of Christ. So what do you want to dwell in your mind? What's the next principle behind keeping your mind in check? Is letting the word of Christ. I guess these principles are all kind of combined into one, right? But again, what are you allowing into your heart? Again, I love the Bible. The Bible is a very specific book. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Word of Christ. There are many things that are some kind of word, but they are not the word of Christ. They are not the word of Christ. So you need to ask yourself, what are you allowing to abide in your heart? What are you allowing to abide in your heart? Are you allowing the things of God to abide in your heart? Are you allowing the things of the world to abide in your heart? Right? Let the word of Christ. What are you pumping your mind with? I'm telling you this, what you pump your mind with will ultimately determine your life. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it proceeds the issues of life. Literally, the issues of your life proceed out of your heart. So if your heart is well guarded with the word of God, then all will be well with you. So I think it's just very important as a child of God, you need to kind of recognize this, that you want the word of Christ to dwell in you, the word of Christ. There are so many things, especially in this age of social media, there are so many things that are competing for your attention. You know, they use this term in social media world, or that they want to increase engagement. No, yes, they want to increase engagement, but what's that engagement? That engagement is an engagement with your mind. With your mind, right? So what are you letting dwell in your life? I'm telling you this, like if you even just look at things logically, you see, many times you go to church, you hear the word of God, right? And the word of God, especially if it's the true word of God, the true word of Christ, it really strikes your heart, convicts you, and it spurs you, again, for a true believer, it spurs you to make godly changes in your character. Right? That's what the word of God can do to a person. The word of God can renew a person's mind. The word of God can transform a person's mind. The word of God can give a person freedom. Freedom. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Right? So the word of Christ really helps. Well, you see these days, especially in this information age, people are consuming a lot of information, but that information is not necessarily benefiting their lives because it's not the right information. There's a lot of information out there, but as that information has become so commonplace, a lot of it is junk. There's a lot of not just information out there. There's a lot of junk information. There are two kinds of information. I like to think of it this way. There's information that's beneficial and there's information that's junk, right? There's a lot of information out there, but a good amount of it is just pure junk. So you need to ask yourself, what are you exposing yourself to? And let me tell you this, the fact that a word comes from a church or from a pastor does not mean it's the word of Christ. Mm-mm. There are many fake pastors out there. There are many fake men of God out there, right? They don't preach the word of God. They don't preach the true, pure, undiluted word of God. In fact, people end up being deceived. People end up being led astray. So honestly, you need to be very, 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 very careful about that. Very careful about that. What word are you hearing? Again, the fact that a pastor is saying something, it doesn't mean it's the word of Christ. That's why you need to also know scripture for yourself. Right? You need to also know scripture for yourself. Right? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, in you, in you, in you. It's a decision you have to make to truly study the word of God, to truly understand the word of God, to truly meditate on the word of God, to truly apply the word of God. It's you. You that has to make that choice is you that has to take those actions, right? So you want the word of Christ to dwell in you. I mean, literally, the Bible says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. Well, the Bible also says, I believe all these verses are from Psalm 119. It also says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm telling you this, if the word of God is what's filling your mind, you will notice that it makes you less likely to sin. And it makes you more likely to have the right perspective on life, the right reaction to life. Okay, let's continue. So he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's the next principle. Dwell in you. Dwell in you. Dwell in you. Dwell in you. What does it mean for something to dwell? It means for that thing to take residence. The thing is, there are many people that hear the word of Christ, but that word of Christ does not take residence in their lives. What do I mean by that? If everyone that went to church had the word of Christ that they heard in church dwell in them, then those people will prosper and succeed, will affect the world in a much stronger way for Christ. Think about the early church. It's not that there were as many, the early church did not have as many Christians as we do have now. But the early church had mighty, mighty impact all over the world. Look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was just one apostle. And you know, many times on his trips, he'll go with one or two other people that, you know, will help him in the work of the body of Christ. And let me tell you this, they affected cities for Christ, many multiple cities for Christ. About 2/3 of the New Testament was written by Apostle Paul, you know, as obviously as inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? But these people, they were small, they didn't have large numbers, but they still achieved great things for God. Why? Because the word of God was in their hearts. The word of God dwelt in them. Right? Because you see many people, listening to the word of God is not the same thing as the word of God dwelling in you. Listening to the word of God is not the same thing as the word of God dwelling in you. If you listen to the word of God, you can easily forget what you've read. But for that word to dwell in you, it means that, I've listened to this word, but you're not just listening to it. You are meditating on it. And then you're beginning to look for avenues for obedience by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're like, man, I've heard this word. Okay, like, let me think about it some more. But you see many people, it's like this parable that is described in the New Testament. I think it's the parable of the sower. Again, I can't remember exactly where it is, but I would imagine it's probably somewhere in the book of Matthew. But the parable of the sower, about the different kinds of ground that the seed was sown on. And those ground, the ground in those parable is actually describing the mind. You see, some people, they hear the word of God. That's one of the people that are describing the scripture. They hear the word of God and they receive it with joy in their hearts. They're like, wow, this word is But then after they hear that word, they don't do anything about it. They don't think about it. So they promptly forget about it. Or you see some people, they hear the word. It comes into their minds. But the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, it makes the word unprofitable for them. They hear the word. But man, that word is just choked out by all their desires, the worldly lifestyle, and all those things. So the word is unfruitful for them, right? So I just think it's very important for something to take root. Because for something to dwell, it means it is to take root. For something to take root, you have to engage with it beyond just the initial hearing, right? You need to engage with it beyond the initial hearing, right? In fact, there's this part of the book of, I think, James chapter 1 that says, you know, confess your faults one to another, pray for one for another that ye may be healed. That's James 5. But it says, it's in the book of James chapter 1. What's this scripture? Holy Ghost, help me. It says, receive with meekness. Yes, that's the word. Receive with meekness. So it says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness. This is the King James. It says, but receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word always strikes me whenever I read it or listen to it. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So the word that is able to save your soul is the word that is engrafted, not the word that is just listened to. It's the word that is engrafted. Engrafted. When something is engrafted, it means that thing is woven in. Again, I love the Bible. The Bible is a complete book. It says, receive with meekness, that's humility, the engrafted word, So receive with meekness, humility, submitting. To submit, you need to make a conscious choice to submit. That's the lead principle we discussed. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, that word that is woven into your heart. For that word to be woven into your heart, that means it's taking residence. It means it's settled in your mind. How does that happen? That happens when you go beyond just listening to meditating, thinking about it, praying with it. I'm telling you, the more you use something, the more you get from it. The more you use something, the more you get from it. You know, say for example, if you're eating corn, some people can just throw the corn off the cob, but some people can eat the fiber, eat this, eat that. Get the whole thing out of it. Break it all up, digest everything, at least digest as much as they can. They're getting way more from it. I just like to think of it this way. It's like going to an amusement park. You go to an amusement park or a theme park and you just look at the rides and whatnot. Yes, you went there, but you didn't really gain much from it. But if you immerse yourself in it, you take the Ferris wheel, you do ice skating, you see the action figures, you're like, wow. Like when you're reporting what you experienced there, it's going to be very different from a person that just went there and looked at the rights. That's the same thing that happens when the word of Christ, that's the difference between listening to it and letting it dwell. When something dwells, it means you're engaging with it, right? And let me tell you this, the more you engage with the word of Christ, the more beneficial it will be to you, the more you will understand it. Think about it. I remember when I was in college, you know, organic chemistry, one of the things that really turned things around for me was that I started engaging with it in many more ways. You know, I engaged with it beyond just listening to it in class. Mm-mm, that was not my only engagement. I had many other kinds of engagement with that word. Like, for example, I engaged with it by doing practice problems. I engaged with it by going to the professor's office hours. I engaged with it by teaching it to other people. I engaged with it by just reasoning through mechanisms and things like that. Like all those things really, really helped, right? Like you see many times these days, people do not succeed academically because they engage with what they are learning on just one level. No, you need to have multiple pieces of engagement, diverse engagement. So that's the thing with the word of God. Don't just listen to the word of God. For the word of God to dwell in you, for it to dwell in you, you need to engage with it on multiple fronts. You need to listen to it. You need to meditate on it. You need to pray with it. You need to think about it. You need to act on it. You need to read it again and again. You need to teach it to other people. You need to teach it to other people. And by God's grace, we'll talk about this principle next week. But, you know, look at the second half of verse 16 that says, teaching and admonishing one another. That's another means of engaging with the word of Christ. As you engage with the word of Christ that way, more and more people are learning from it. As more and more people learn from it, you're keeping your mind in check. You're engaging with it more. So it's going to be with you more. You're going to milk more from that word, right? So let the word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell in you richly, 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 right? That's the next word here, richly, richly. You want to have a wealth of the word of Christ in you, not a poverty of the word of Christ in you. Again, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. It's in the book of Psalm 119, that I might not sin against you. One of the reasons many people are ineffective Christians is that they have the word of Christ in them, but they don't have enough of it. They don't have enough of it. So their minds are malnourished spiritually. Like, for example, think about a newborn. If a newborn is fed once every 6 hours with breast milk, that newborn is not going to grow. Mm-mm, it's not. A newborn needs milk like every 2-3 hours because they are undergoing rapid growth. So you see some people, they're either not growing as Christians or their growth as Christians is stunted. Why? Because the word of Christ dwells in them poorly. It doesn't dwell in them richly. They don't have good thorough exposure, right? So what's the way to solve this problem? Engage more with the word of God. Spend more time in the word of God. You see some people, the word of God is 2-3 minutes of their day. But consuming useless information on social media, useless information on these video apps and everything, is like 10, 11, 12 hours of their day. They're like consuming. But the word of Christ, they almost spend no time with it. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're kind of hurting your soul. You're kind of hurting your mind. You're kind of hurting your life. So I'll encourage you, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm telling you this. You may be like, divine, the word of God is boring. No, if you're studying the word of God with the Holy Spirit, you notice that the word of God is not boring. There's so much you can learn from every single word of God, especially if the Holy Spirit is your personal teacher, is your personal tutor. The Bible says that he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. That's why it's really, really sad these days. You see many churches, they don't preach about the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm trusting the Lord that God, please give us the opportunity on this podcast to really delve deep into the working and operations of the Holy Spirit from many different dimensions. But I'm telling you this, I'm literally telling you this, like, people just don't spend time on the word of Christ these days. They don't. Or they just read it. They just read it, right? They lose the richness, because richness in the word of God doesn't just mean how much time you spend in the word of God, but it also means the depth, the quality of that time. The quality of that time. The Holy Spirit is not preached in many circles, because the thing is the Holy Spirit that supercharges the word. Is the Holy Spirit that brings meaning from the word. Is the Holy Spirit that brings revelation from the word, right? So, because there's this part of scripture that says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills. It kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit breathes upon the word and makes it make more meaning to you. That's why for any child of God, you need a solid, bona fide relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? But you see, many times, many churches go about things by rote. They are just like, oh, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. This is what the Bible literally says. This is this. This is that. They give those interpretations of man. They give those literal interpretations. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. And then they just leave it at that. No, there is way more richness in the word. I'm telling you this, brethren. See, try to understand what I'm saying here. This word, this text, Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. You can just read this word. You can just read it. Oh, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. But look at this. Like, literally, almost every single word in this reading has deep meaning. But where do you get those deep meanings from? By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. So again, it's not enough to just say, oh, I want to spend hours. Divine has said, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. Yes, let the word of Christ dwell in me richly means, yes, you should spend more time with the word. But that richness involves not just the amount of time, but also involves the quality of that time. The quality of the time you spend engaging with the word of God is dictated by the Holy Spirit and also by your mind. Like, are you willing to receive that word? Right? The Bible says receive with meekness. Meekness means you are receiving with submission. Are you willing to receive that word with meekness, with submission? But is the Holy Spirit your tutor? If the Holy Spirit is teaching you, then you're gonna gain way, 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 way more from that word. Right? So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it be richness. Let it be richness. Right? In fact, there's this devotional I read every now and then, where the author at the back of the book, one of the terms one of the statements he has is, this is not in the Bible, but he kind of drives this point home pretty well. He says, when you read, you skim the surface, but when you study, you discover the treasure. You discover the treasure, right? So that's the thing, like the word of God, you want the richness of the word. The word of God is rich. I'm telling you this, brethren, the word of God is very, very rich. There is so much in the word of God that many people just completely miss out on because the Holy Spirit is not an active component of their study of the word. Okay, so now what's the last thing I want to discuss today? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. So wisdom is application. So what's the next principle behind keeping your mind in check? The word of Christ that you've heard, that you've meditated on, that you've listened to, that the Spirit of God has broken down for you. If all these processes have been put in place, all these processes have been effected properly, but then this word of God does not manifest in wisdom in you, does not manifest in obedience in you, then it's been almost like a waste, right? Again, go back to the parable of the sower. The people that got the blessing were the people that heard the word of God. It resided in their minds, and then they obeyed it. Is in obedience to the word of God that you will bring forth much fruit. Because there are many people, you know, they spend time in the word of God. They listen to the true word of God. They let it dwell in them. They think about it. They meditate on it. It's rich in their lives. The Holy Spirit is breaking it down for them. But then they don't, that last step of obedience, they don't. That last step is just, it's almost like if you have a password for your email. And let's say your password is 11 characters. And you enter 10 characters properly, but the 11th character, you don't enter it properly. Then you're not going to be able to log into that email or that secure portal. Why? Because again, you don't have the full combination. So you want the word of Christ, because this is the feeling of many, many Christians. Honestly, I feel like this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, is pretty much the parable of the sower in a nutshell. I'll encourage you, if you have the time on your own time, I'll go and read the parable of the sower. It basically, like each of the progressions in this scripture, in this little part of verse 16 that we have read, pretty much just breaks down the parable of the sower. Right? But wisdom is application of knowledge. The knowledge that you've heard, you've meditated on, you've understood, and you're applying it. That's the missing link for many Christians. I'm telling you this. If you obey the word of God that you hear, man, your life will complete, literally, will be transformed. Your life will literally be transformed. But many people hear the word of God and they don't put it into practice. So it's very important as a child of God. Please go through the steps. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And look at this as I conclude. It says, let the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ. But for the word of Christ to dwell in you, you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. He came to this world because we're all born in sin. We're all living sin. He came to this world. He was sent by his Father God to die for you on the cross. He shed his blood for you to save you from sin. So for the word of Christ to dwell in you, then Christ has to dwell in you. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1, I believe verse 27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your life can have a glorious end. You can have a glorious existence if Christ is in you. So if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I confess all my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. Please save me from my sin. Let your blood cleanse me of all unrighteousness and purify me of all iniquity. Come into my life. Take charge. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I surrender all to you. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for all those that have just surrendered their lives to you. Please, Lord, strengthen them by your glorious might. And not just those that have surrendered their lives to you, but all of us listening to this podcast, including myself. My Lord and my God, please give us the grace to obey your word. We have heard your true word, and thank you for your true word you brought forth this morning. Because, Lord, this word that came forth this morning has not been by power. It has not been by might, but it has been your grace that has made all the difference. So, Lord, I just want to say thank you for your word. We all together say thank you for your word. Father, we are praying that may you help us to obey this word. Help us, Lord, to submit to your word, to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. The word of Christ. Help us, Lord, let your spirit filter the words that are coming into our hearts so that we don't let junk and garbage come into our hearts. We let the true word of Christ come into our hearts. And for that, as it comes, let it not just come and go. Let us not forget this word, but let this word dwell in our lives. And let it not just dwell, but let it dwell in richness. Let us fully understand your word. Let your spirit be our personal tutor and teacher. Teach us your word. Give us the grace to spend more and more time in the word. And let it be expressed in obedience, in godly obedience, in holy fear, in wisdom, in obedience to that word. That your name and your name alone shall be glorified. And Lord, I commit this week into your hands. I pray that may you please strengthen each and every one of us. I pray that may you please uphold each and every one of us. And I pray that may Jesus reign in our lives. And help us to go out and apply these words. Let these words not be a testament against us, but let it be a testament for us on the last day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So for those that have surrendered their lives to the Lord, congratulations, you're a child of God. There are a few things you need to do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. It is titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with Christ. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. For many people, the New Living Translation is amazing. Read it. Meditate on it. Do what it says. Write down action steps for your life. Apply the wisdom of the word. You'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. Remember, I talked about fake pastors, fake preachers. Again, I'm trusting God in the future that one day we'll have some time to examine that topic. But go to a place that is Bible-believing. There are many churches that call themselves churches, but they preach things that are just completely contrary to the word of God. That is certainly not a place you want to be. So make sure you find a place where you can hear the true, pure, and diluted word of God. So when you hear the word of God in church, you're listening to a message in church, go back and confirm with scripture. What does the Bible say? If the Bible says things that are completely different from what you heard in church, then that's probably not a place you should be so you can grow, right? Because remember, we said let the word of Christ, right? Not junk. If junk resides in your heart, you won't grow in Christ. So you want to hear the word of Christ. Okay, so thank you for listening to this podcast today. I will see each other in episode, I believe, 236. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Bye for now. Shalom.